Well, we're going to have a Bible reading at this stage, and I've asked Ian if he would come, please, and would read God's word to us tonight. Thank you.
The reading's from Joshua chapter 6, and commencing from verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valour. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall stand up every man straight before him. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests, and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and that 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on the compass of the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns, passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests, and blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on, and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city going about at once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually, and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on, and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once, and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. It came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that be sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourself accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, and vessels of brass and iron, are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks indeed, Ian, for that reading. I am very grateful that Ian has read for me tonight, because my voice is starting to get slightly croaky. Must be all the shouting at the children this past week. But thank you very much indeed for that reading. So tonight it's the 400th anniversary of the walls of Londonderry, built at a cost of £8,357. Of course, the walls are a historic site in our city, a World Heritage Site. And of course, there's the famous song associated with the walls of the city. Just to quote some of it, very familiar, well-known words. When James and all his rebel band came up to Bishopsgate, with heart in hand and sword and shield, we forced them to retreat. The blood did flow in crimson streams through many a winter's night. They knew the Lord was on their side to help them in their fight. They nobly stood upon the walls, determined not to die, to fight and gain the victory and raise the crimson high. We'll fight and won't surrender, and come when duty calls, with heart in hand and sword and shield, we'll guard old Derry's walls. Do you ever wonder why it's called the Maiden City? Well, it's because the walls were never breached. The walls have never been breached. See, they weren't breached in 1688 and 1689, and that's where the term the Maiden City came from. And we're glad and we thank God that the walls weren't breached. And we thank God that the walls stayed up. But I want tonight to speak for a few moments about walls that came down. Walls that came down. Ian has read to us about those walls. Joshua chapter 6, the walls of Jericho, of course. Very familiar story, very famous story in the Bible. Children hear it from Sunday school days. I mean, more or less everybody knows about the walls of Jericho. The only issue I have is that people focus on the past and the present when it comes to the walls of Jericho, but they don't focus on the future. And very often preachers will preach about the past and the account of what happened in Joshua chapter 6, and they'll make it applicable to today and our lives, but they don't preach about the future. You see, folks, in Joshua chapter 6, this well-known story of the collapse of the walls of Jericho, there's a prophetic message. There's prophecy. The future. And I believe that this passage that Ian has read to us tonight speaks to us of the return of Christ. Speaks to us of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And with the way things are in the Middle East at the present time, folks, we need to lift up our heads because our redemption draweth nigh. You know, our text tonight from the New Testament is 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Whenever you go back to the portion in Joshua, it's interesting that you find there's three things. There's a trumpet, and there's a shout, and then there's the victory. So let's go back there to Joshua chapter 6, because that's the chapter that we're thinking about tonight. And then we will, of course, be referring to the text in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. But Joshua chapter 6, you've got references throughout the chapter to the trumpet. Do you know how many times the trumpet is mentioned in this chapter? 14 times. 14 times. We're not going to go through them all now. But when you go home, you go through and you take note of the references to the trumpet in this chapter, and it should make you think of the trumpet that is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The trumpet that will sound when Christ returns, the trumpet that we have been singing about already tonight, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. But look at chapter 6 of Joshua, verse 5, speaks there of the trumpet. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. The trumpet. You know, my favorite band, or one of my favorite bands, is the Silver Band. Probably because one of my brothers is in a silver band. Of course, the brass band as well, same thing. We have had the brass band at Christmas time, and I'm sure you enjoyed it as they played the Christmas carols. But there's the trumpet, one of the instruments. And a very pleasant sound. Not say what I think about the flute, or better not offend anybody. Now, I enjoy a melody flute band. But some of those other flute bands that are around today, they bring shame and disrepute on true Protestantism and the cause of the gospel. But that's just by the by. The trumpet, a beautiful instrument, takes a lot of puff to blow it and to play it and to bring a tune out from it. But oh, the greatest trumpet of all is the trumpet that will sound when Christ returns again. You ready for that sound? That joyful sound for a believer? Oh, that sound of the trumpet will be music to the ears of every Christian on planet Earth. Every Christian in this church tonight, music to our ears. Because we know that that will be our deliverance day. Delivered from the temptations, the trials, the trauma of this life. And walking the narrow way. Thank God the trumpet is going to sound. So as we think about the walls of Derry that stayed up all those years ago, and we think tonight in our reading of the walls of Jericho that came down, it began with the sound of the trumpet. The trumpet. But then let's move on tonight to the shout. There was not only a trumpet when the walls of Jericho came down. There was a shout. You notice in verse 10, if you still have your finger, in chapter 6 of Joshua, verse 10, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout." Shout. You know, in 1689, wasn't there a great shout from the defenders of the city? No surrender. No surrender. Those are good words. Today we need to take our stand for Christ and we need to say no surrender to the enemies of the cross. And you know by now what has been planned for our province on the 21st of October, that abortion and fake marriage will be legalized. Well, the enemies are out there. They want us to surrender. They're battering at the door. You remember in Genesis chapter 19, it tells us there about the Sodomites. Whenever the angels came to the city, it tells us, you go home and read it tonight, it tells us that the men of the city were banging on the door of Lot's house, trying to knock down the door to get in. Isn't that what's happening in Ulster today? They're banging on the door. The enemies are banging on the door. It's just like the siege of Derry all those years ago. The enemies are at the gates. And there's a lot of Lundies around today. We've got a lot of Lundies. They're telling us to surrender. Oh, just go with it. Women's rights. My body, my choice. Abortion. It's just... that little fetus doesn't, it's not alive until it's born. Lundy. Surrender. A lot of people are saying, oh, those poor oppressed homosexuals. You believe that, you believe anything. Oppressed? My foot. They are the oppressors. You do know that they want to punish evangelical Christians. That's really what's behind it. That's their ultimate aim, their ultimate goal. But we're told that we have to allow these people who have been discriminated against to have their rights. Love is love. Just surrender is the cry of modern day Colonel Lundy. We must shout. We must do what they did in Joshua chapter 6. The Israelites of old, they shouted. We've got a shout today, and our shout must be the same as the defenders of the city all those years ago. No surrender. No surrender. But you know, there's a great shout in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in our text. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Shout. Oh, the shout of the Lord Jesus as he returns for his people. This is the rapture. And folks, it's going to happen. This is not a fairy story. This is not legend, make believe. No, this is something that will happen. Are you ready? Oh, that's where the rubber hits the road tonight, isn't it? Are you ready? Shout of our Savior. Do you know three times in the New Testament there's a great shout from the lips of Christ? First of all, John chapter 11, verse 43. John 11, 43, a great shout from our blessed Redeemer. And he's standing here at the grave of Lazarus, John chapter 11. Verse 43. And forgive me for causing you to turn to these passages, but folks, we need to stick to the word, don't we? It is good to think about history and the past, but we got to make the word of God central in our preaching. So here's John 11 and verse 40, or 43 rather. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. One old preacher said, if he hadn't mentioned Lazarus by name, all the people in that cemetery would have come forth. But there's this great shout from the one who is the resurrection and the life. And he raises Lazarus from the dead. He can raise you from the dead too. Those of you here tonight who are still in the grave spiritually. You see, every Christian in this meeting tonight, before they were saved, they were also in the spiritual grave. I was too. But then the day or the night came whenever the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice into our souls and he raised us to life. And we're alive tonight, spiritually as well as physically. Those of you who are not saved, you're just alive physically. You're only existing. You're not really living. But Jesus tonight wants to put life into your dead soul. And he can do it not only for people in this church tonight. He can do it for the people in the village tonight who have no interest in an evening service. No interest in going to church. It's the last place they would want to be. They wouldn't be found dead in a church service. You can raise them to spiritual life. Of course, it's because they're spiritually dead that they don't want to come to God's house. Whenever you're spiritually alive, whenever Jesus speaks life into your soul, you will want to come to his house to worship the one who has set you free. Great to be set free, isn't it? Great to be redeemed. Just there before I come out, I was getting ready and I heard this flapping on the window. And there was a wee butterfly trying to get out, but just hitting itself against the glass. So I just got my fist and just put my fist. No, I did not. God's wee creatures. We've got to care for them, don't we? So got my two hands cupped round the butterfly, lifted it up to the window, set it free. You're a wee butterfly tonight and you're never going to break free unless Jesus sets you free. And then, my, when you're set free, up, up and away for him. Oh, the shout of Christ at the grave of Lazarus, but oh, there's another great shout in Matthew 27, verse 50. Matthew 27, verse 50. As we think about the shout from the walls of Derry, no surrender. As we think about the shout of the Israelites marching around the walls of Jericho, we think about a great shout in Matthew 27. That's verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. There it is. He cried with a loud voice at Calvary. Notice what happens, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in the twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Oh, the power of our dying Lord. A loud voice. This is unusual, folks. A dying man, especially a man who has been hanging on a cross for hours, he hardly has the strength to whisper. But Jesus shouts. It's a loud voice. He cries and bows his head in death and gives up the ghost. Dismisses his spirit, we would say. Only person ever in history who did that, by the way, dismissed. Only person to ever dismiss his spirit in death. We can't do that. When it comes to the hour of our death, we'll not be able to do it. But he did. And of course, here in 1 Thessalonians 4, in our text, we have the third great shout from the lips of the Savior. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Oh, the trumpet is going to sound. It's going to be the shout. And then that brings me to the victory as we finish. The victory. You see, there's victory in Joshua chapter 6. We're thinking these Sundays about victory for the defenders of the walled city. Our forefathers, thank God for their defiance and for the victory that God gave them. They didn't win the victory. God gave them the victory. In Joshua chapter 6, it's the same. It tells us, if you go back to Joshua chapter 6, that it was the Lord who gave them the victory. Joshua chapter 6. And let's get it right now. It's verse 16. Notice the end. For the Lord hath given you the city. The Lord hath given you the city. There's grace. A free gift. Isn't that what salvation is all about? A free gift. It's all of grace. And you know, at the end of the age, whenever the trumpet sounds and the shout of Christ is heard, then he will give the victory. He gave the victory to our forefathers in 1688 and 89. He gave the victory to the people of Israel in Joshua chapter 6. And thank God the walls came down. The walls fell down, it tells us. You know, there's going to be a great collapse whenever Christ returns, whenever the rapture takes place. Because it tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. All those atheistic, anti-God, secular, humanistic world systems that are shaking their fist in the face of Christ today, they will all collapse. He will have the victory. He will have the last laugh. While preaching on the radio on the subject of the second coming, the Reverend C.A. Blackmore was outlining some of the marvelous things that would happen to Christians at the rapture. A lady who had been bedridden for 23 years heard the message and wrote, "Will I really be well? Will all pain and sorrow actually be gone?" Blackmore replied, "Yes, my friend, some glorious day when Jesus comes, you will leap from that bed with all the vigor of youth and never know pain again." Blackmore's son was greatly impressed with the reality of this coming event. As he pondered the glorious prospects, the words and melody of a chorus took form in his mind, and he said to his father, "Dad, you should write some verses for this chorus." After much prayer, early one morning, unable to sleep as he anticipated the thrill of the rapture, the elder Blackmore rose from his bed and wrote the verses of our closing hymn, "Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you." Let's pray. We ask, O Lord, that those who are not prepared, not ready for his coming, would remember the words of our Saviour, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Thank you, Lord, for those of us who are saved, that we can look forward to the day whenever the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Keep us faithful until that day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.